Rosalie Maggio joins us by phone tonight. She's the author of over 20 books for adults and children, including the best-selling How to Say It, Choice Words, Phrases, Sentences, and Paragraphs for Every Situation, The Art of Talking to Anyone, and The Art of Organizing Anything. The book we will talk about tonight is an interesting departure from those. It's the biography of a woman named Marie Marvin, who was christened the Fiancée of Danger by the New York Times. I'm delighted to welcome you to Around Cincinnati, and I am so interested to find out more about Marie Marvin, Fiancée of Danger. She seems to me to literally leap off the pages and would be quite at home keeping company with any of the superheroes we see on the big screen today. So let's start with when she lived, where she was born, and her very early growing up years.
All right. She is French, born in Aurillac, which is a little town. But she spent 75 years of her life in Nancy, which is in the east of France. Her upbringing was interesting in that you can see a foreshadowing of her later life. Her father was a most interesting man. He was a sports champion, and he could hardly wait to have children with his wife, Elizabeth, so that he could pass on his love of sports to them. Well, first came three little boys. All three died in infancy. And then was born Marie. And then another little boy who was sickly all his life, and he ended up dying at age 18 of heart trouble. So here was this man who was a billiards champion, a swimming champion, and so on. And he was left with looking at this daughter. Well, he very soon noticed that she had more energy than anybody, that she was incredibly active. He took her on. He had her swimming 4 kilometers in the river by the time she was 4. He took her mountain climbing with him. She just followed. He never even looked behind. She just trailed behind him. He bought her her first bicycle when bicycles were brand new, the great big wheel, you know. As soon as they saw one, they knew she had to have one. So this guy taught her everything he knew. She was beating him at billiards before long. And her mother died when Marie was 14. She was not very well. And so Marie had to take over the household, which consisted of her dad and his sickly little brother. And she kind of conceived a dislike for housework that lasted all her life. So the fact that her mom wasn't there to train her in the way that girls were supposed to go those days, and her mother probably tried, but as a neighbor said, what are you going to do with the two of them? The dad, who was so excited about this daughter who could do anything he'd think of, she could do and do better and so on. And then the mother, who wasn't feeling very well and had a sick son to take care of. So Marie and her dad pretty much ran away with it. And then without her mom, she had to take care of them. That was not much fun. That was her early upbringing. And so I mean, this dad must have been quite different for his time. He let her canoe. Well, she won the race, canoe, when she was 14, unchaperoned. I mean, this is just unheard of. He let her spend a whole summer at the circus, learning bareback riding, trapeze, animal taming, any circus trick you could learn. There was a circus that was based in town. Imagine letting a child spend her summer at the circus. But he was okay with that. But this is why Marie was advantaged. First of all, she was born with more talent than, you know, she got a medal for being excellent at all sports.
At all sports?
Nobody has ever before or since gotten a medal like that from the French Academy of Sports. It was unique. It was mountain climbing. It was swimming, canoeing, biking, automobiles. It was horseback riding. You name it. And she was out there and winning. Nobody was making her do these things. She never saw anything new that she didn't want to try or do or better herself at or compete at. So from the time she was 12, 14 on, she was winning things, and then 35 then when she won the medal for all sports. And by then she had been the first person, not just woman, because that always comes up, first person to climb several alpine peaks. She had flown a balloon across the North Sea, and people had died before and after her trip doing that very thing. She had set the first women's aviation records. In those days, aviation was considered a sport. If you wanted to check on the latest news, you turned to the sports pages under aviation. It was not considered very serious. She was in the paper almost every day. She got her license in 1909. And set the first women's record. By the way, the reason she set the first women's records is she demanded that they record them. up until then, women's records, well, there weren't any because nobody bothered to write them down. And she insisted on a, you know, supervisor, what it called, somebody come out and watch her fly and mark how far and how long she flew and so on and so forth. And she demanded that they write that down because she wanted records for women.
I do want to talk about some of the major accomplishments that involved airplanes. I think she did hot air ballooning, but she invented the air ambulances and was also a bomber pilot. She was the first female bomber pilot, but it was this in World War I where she was disguised as a man, but also in the resistance in World War II. You know, it's almost as if the sports were a sideline eventually to her career as a journalist and as an aviator.
They were, and she said that. The sports were merely a training for her. And then the last part of her life, the last half probably, she spent promoting air rescue. And to us today, we think that's a no-brainer. In the earliest years, they say that about 87% of everyone who went up in a plane came down dead. And imagine her going up repeatedly. You know, she used to stop at a funeral parlor on her way to an air meet and make her own funeral arrangements. She was a single woman. She didn't want anybody else to have to clean up after her. She would do that. But that was because she knew very well that her chances were not great. She went to so many funerals of her good buddies, her flying friends.
There's one account where she does crash in some farmer's field, and he exclaims, "Oh, he's dead." And she says, "She is not dead, but don't light a match. I'm covered in gasoline." Our time grows short, but I do want to mention one really important thing in her. She says the most important thing in her life, which is that she was a Red Cross nurse. And you do have to wonder if that comes in part from the connection with her brother, who was ill and a lifetime of growing up in service.
You are so correct. And you know, Florence Nightingale's book, it was a little book. It was something like, anyone can be a nurse. Florence wanted everyone in the home and out of the home to understand a few principles of taking care of people so that you could do it at home. And that came out when Marie's mother was ill. Yes, nursing was her greatest pride, really. She invented a surgical suture. She was a surgical nurse, so she was in the operating room sometimes 27 hours without a break.
Her accomplishments were just extraordinary, and I do want to thank you for rescuing her from the forgotten dustbin of history, because she's just an outstanding example for all of us. Certainly an amazing woman. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Barbara. This has been fun.
I've been talking with Rosalie Maggio about our biography of Marie Marvin, Fiancée of Danger. You will find more information at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Barbara Gray.